In a piece that you wrote for Newsmax.com, Charles, you indicated that there may be some good coming out of the Korean missile crisis in that the North Korean missile firings is awakening a desire by U.S. Asian allies to build their own offensive forces. And to many, the two choices are either submit to North Korea or build nuclear weapons. And this gives an alternative, does it not?
Well, it's not really a nice alternative from our point of view, but you have to keep in mind what the Chinese did during the 1990s.
I would think, though, that anything that something less than nuclear would be nicer. I mean, maybe that's a wrong term to use, but certainly a better alternative than going to the last resort.
We've made our policy pretty clear, especially with Taiwan, Korea, South Korea, even Japan, that we would prefer that they not go nuclear, that there could be the possibility of sanctions. Remember, when the Indians went nuclear, we applied sanctions to them. The same thing with the Pakistanis. The proliferation of nuclear weapons is what has alarmed us. And again, during the 1990s, Beijing, with their proxy powers, Pakistan and North Korea, encouraged them to go nuke and essentially helped proliferate the weapon systems to those countries, which of course is now being proliferated even further. Well, the alternative to either submission, developing your own nuclear weapons, or going a third route, that third alternative, the third rail, shall we say, is a functional national missile defense. And we have actually gone into partnership with the Japanese because of the missile threat, not only from North Korea, but from China. The Japanese finally came around to this with the Taipodong 1 missile launch in 1998. The irony there was the administration in power at the time in Washington said that the North Koreans could never do it, or at least for another 10 or 15 years. Kim Jong-il, literally within 2 weeks of that statement, decided to flog one over Japan and land it off the coast of the United States. Well, these recent firings obviously have lit a much heartier fire under Tokyo, and they ponied up a considerable amount of cash to join us in the development of the SM-3, which is the Standard Missile 3 being deployed by the U.S. Navy, and tested, may I say, rather successfully by the U.S. Navy against a variety of ballistic missile targets. The SM-3 actually has had, I believe it's either 15 out of 16, or it's either that or 16 out of 17 successful shots in the past 5 years. We're talking about a nearly 90-plus percent rate, over 90% kill rate here. This thing has actually scored direct hits, missing only one time in that test series. I have to tip my hat to the U.S. Navy, but then again, you got to keep in mind those Aegis cruisers and destroyers that we've deployed over the years. That's what these guys do. They shoot missiles, and they do it for a living. They've got a great platform. They've got great computer systems. They've got probably one of the best radar and integrated networks in Aegis and the SPY-1 radar systems. And just giving them something that can reach out, finally, and intercept these missiles, I think, is a big step for us. It gives us mobile platforms which can be moved globally. Three-quarters of the world is covered by water, to whatever hot spot is necessary. And don't think that the SM-3 is necessarily limited to shooting down a warhead coming in. It quite has the capability of shooting down a warhead on the way up as well. And it's a lot easier to hit something that's three stages long as compared to something that's only about 4 or 5 feet tall at the most. So bottom line there, the Navy SM-3 with Japan, you're looking at about $2 billion overall. The Japanese have ponied up about 50% of that money, about 1.2. And they're looking forward to deploying their own version of the SM-3. And I do know that many of the engineers who are working with the Japanese at the moment have been impressed with their electronic systems. We will be integrating in the top-line systems that the Japanese can put out. And believe me, it's awfully good.
Right, obviously, you don't see a diplomatic solution to the Korean missile situation, but in fact, more attention to building up our defense systems here in this country and deploying them on ships, as you've mentioned, and inside America on land base as well. Is that what you're saying here?
Yeah.
Or non-nuclear interceptors?
The bottom line here is we can continue to work the diplomatic area, which is hoping for the best.
And while we're doing that, allowing them to just continue to work on their missile defense systems.
And plan
in
for
Korea.
Worst.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that we have to continue to realize is, despite the clamor against the national missile defense, the tin pot dictators and crazy leaders around the world aren't putting backpack nukes on people to go across our border. They're building ballistic missiles that they keep within their own borders. And there's a fairly good reason for that. Nuclear weapons inside their own borders on very flashy missile systems are a big prestigious item. It's something that they can flaunt around for their neighbors as well as for us. It's something that they can retain control of. They have political troops. They will actually have direct control of the systems, the weapons. They know exactly when it can go up and when it can come down. Doing something as dicey as many of the opponents of the national missile defense, such as putting a weapon inside a cargo hold of a ship or trying to smuggle it in pieces across the border, that's a big risk. You can get caught. It may not work. There's an extensive time delay. The difficulty in employing it and deploying a nuclear weapon system comes into play here. It's much more likely that we'd face a chemical weapon in that format instead of a nuke.